Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga, Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty well today. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good today. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about how we think is what we become. And in this show, we will explore the advances in technology on the direction of humanity. Listen as we explore the question, has anything human contributed to the betterment of creation? With all the advances in the technological world, has the human found a better use of mind? Is it in our best interest to let machines do our thinking for us? Welcome to the Voice of Yoga, and we are Talking Consciousness. Join our Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and think in tandem with the Almighty. So, Swami, I went on Wikipedia, and they have a description for artificial intelligence, and they say that artificial intelligence is intelligence demonstrated by machines, in contrast to the natural intelligence displayed by humans and other animals. But my question to you is, I think it's very interesting that the question that we posed in the summary, with all the advances in the technological world, has the human found a better use of mind? Now, in mind, you have capitalized that M. So what should our listeners know about technological advances and the human mind, capital M?
Yeah, well, one of the distinctions that we do make is that there's a difference between the human mind and divine mind. And the human mind really operates more on duality. It functions on the contrast that comes from the dimensions of reality that are in half. And divine mind works on unity, consciousness. So it really works on the absolute, and it deals with wholeness and harmony. And so they're very different. And when you're trying to compare artificial intelligence with divine mind, then I really don't see it as much of a contest.
Well, what's interesting, I was just thinking as you were talking, is that we know back like in the 60s and the 70s and so forth that people would use artificial means to gain different levels of consciousness. Do you ever think that maybe that might be something that would be explored, you know, through artificial intelligence?
Well, maybe. And one of the things, I did a lot of research in the 70s, and what basically a lot of drugs do is they trigger altered states of consciousness. But it was also discovered that those altered states of consciousness were all attainable through the disciplines of meditation. And the difference between the two was that the drugs had their limitations. One of the major limitations was that you had to deal with the adverse effects of putting a toxic substance in your body to get what was considered to be a desired state. But you were also limited by your experience. Whereas once you mastered the disciplines that they talked about in meditation and you were able to make shifts in consciousness without losing consciousness, then of course you didn't have the same limitations.
I was reading an article for this particular show about artificial intelligence, and I guess one of the controversies is, can artificial intelligence really be beneficial to the human race? Because right now we are the smartest beings on the planet, And I think there are some concerns out there that with artificial intelligence, if that technology can learn through experience, it might get to that point where it is actually smarter than us, and then we wouldn't have control over the planet.
Well, that part I'm not 100% sure about. I don't know how something inanimate can all of a sudden become self-existent, kind of a thing. So as far as that being a threat, that part I'm not 100% sure of. But the thing that does concern me is, for the most part, when it comes to human endeavors, whatever it is that we don't use, we lose. And by letting machines do our thinking for us, it really kind of takes us a little bit out of the equation. And so what you're noticing too collectively is that there are a lot of people that are losing their minds with a lot of these conditions that, you know, are becoming in epidemic proportions. And part of that might be is the simple fact that we are not really doing our own thinking anymore, and we're not using our mental functions. And as a result, just like any muscle in your body, if you don't use it, it's going to start to atrophy. And the same is true with intelligence. If you don't use your mental functions, then they'll start to atrophy.
So, Swami, what do you suggest that we do to strengthen our mental functions and build on intelligence?
Well, I think the most important thing is to use your mind. Do your own thinking. Start doing your own thinking. Figure things out for yourself. And part of figuring things out is using these mental functions. In Kriya Yoga, we have four mental functions: perception, reason, memory, intuition. And perception is how we take in data through our senses, through touch, taste, smell, sight, sound, hearing. Reason is our ability to organize that information, categorize it, systemize it. And then memory is experience. What happened the last time? So you can always do some sort of comparative testing when in the process of decision making. And then intuition, prescience, your ability to fabricate probable realities, to take consideration for consequences. And the more you are accustomed to using these mental functions, just like any muscle in your body, you start to develop the endurance. And also, you hone these five sheaths in yoga physiology.
I know my dad used to always say, you know, always be learning, always be studying. Always try to, you know, figure things out. Just, you know, keep your mind active.
Yeah, I would encourage that 100%, because I really think that the human organism thrives on activity, be it physical or mental or both. And when you can do things that include not just physical activity, but also using your mental functions. Because a lot of us do stuff on automatic. And even say, for example, I mean, a lot of times people exercise unconsciously. It's almost like they sent the body to the gym. And, you know, they'll stay mentally, they stay on the couch. Whereas if you're doing stuff that requires you to use your mental functions to think, even say, for example, like sports is a great way. Dance.
Well, I know I have definitely experienced that, you know, learning the martial arts. You cannot perform martial arts forms or techniques if your mind is, like you said, is on the couch, that's for sure.
Right. And even like the Kriya Yoga that we teach, the asana program that we teach, really requires mental engagement. Whereas there are a lot of other systems of yoga that people really like because they can mindlessly go through the forms, the movements. Whereas the more mentally present you are, remember, energy follows mind. How we think is what we become. And that movement of the life force is of the utmost importance. And that's something that you can't get from a machine. A machine cannot move the life force. It may be able to figure out certain things on a very superficial level, but it's not really thinking like the human can, or thinking divinely.
Interesting. And a machine also can't get us to those higher levels of consciousness that you had mentioned earlier.
Right. And in fact, a lot of it requires mastery of the lower mind before you can really start to access this higher mind, this different way of thinking.
So we've talked a little bit about intelligence, but let's talk a little bit about artificial. So what does that word artificial mean to you?
Oh boy, there's a list of words that are equated with artificial. False, fake, mock, reproduction, non-natural, synthetic, simulated, imitation, man-made, insincere, put out, pretend, contrived. Yeah, I mean, none of that really puts artificial intelligence, I don't think, in the foreground for me. And even in retrospect, when you think about it, when I think of a better use of mind, and I really don't really equate that with a machine personally, that I really think that putting a lot of our efforts into technology, I don't know. I think the physics of it is that you can't ever gain something where you don't lose something in return. And I think with a lot of our advancements in technology and putting our efforts in technology, we've really diminished the advancement of what I would consider to be the development of the higher mind, or what will turn out to be spiritual pursuits for an individual. And I really think that that's the new frontier. That is really where we're going to get the best return on our efforts.
And it's interesting. When I think about artificial, I think about like artificial ingredients. And, you know, when I go grocery shopping, I make sure that whatever goes in my grocery cart doesn't have anything on the label that has artificial ingredients to me, because it's not real. But this whole concept of artificial intelligence, I can see the value with artificial intelligence with certain industries. But at, you know, at the same time, you know, like our cars are getting smarter, but it doesn't make it actually any easier to drive. It just actually, I think it makes it almost harder to drive your cars with all this technology in the cars. It's not that easy sometimes.
Well, it's really not easier if the car breaks down. Is what I find. You have to be a technician pretty much today in order to really work on your car. And then, like you say, the amount of capabilities that are available in these new devices that are out there are just phenomenal, what they're able to do. But by the same token, it really takes away the personal responsibility. Where all of a sudden now we become much more mentally lazy, so that even when driving, you don't have to be as alert, because your car will stop itself and your car will let you know if you're getting out of your lane. Your car will let you know if something steps out in front of it before you can figure that out. And that's the trade-off sometimes, I think, that we're not putting the responsibility on the individual, but at the same time, we're not developing these personal skills that are really advantageous for us to grow in a positive direction.
All right. Well, I think that's a great place to pause to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll be back with you in a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, in the summary, we asked some questions. Let's talk about one in particular. And the question is, has anything human contributed to the betterment of creation?
Yeah, When I look at it, I really don't think that what we are doing collectively with a lot of our technological advancement, I don't really think it is advancing humanity as a race per se. And like I had said earlier, I really think that we would be a whole lot better off if we were actually moving possibly in the other direction. And one of the things that I really like is I have a quote here from Miscellaneous Writing by Mary Baker Eddy on page 234. She says, "Empirical knowledge is worse than useless. It never has advanced man a single step in the scale of being." And I don't think I'm as harsh as she is, but I kind of relate to what she's saying. And especially you're looking at somebody who was so spiritually advanced and looked at anything that was empirical as useless. And I think that that might be something that we might want to look at.
All right. So that being said, Swami, what direction do you suggest that we should move toward?
Well, I'm really in favor of moving towards unlocking the power of the higher mind. And in Kriya Yoga, this concept of the causal spiritual body. And one of the things that I really think inspires me to really want to explore that direction is something that I read in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. And she writes, "The less mind there is manifested in matter, the better. When the unthinking lobster loses its claw, the claw grows again. If the science of life were understood, it would be found that the senses of mind," and that's with a capital M, "are never lost and that matter has no sensation. Then the human limb would be replaced as readily as the lobster's claw, not with an artificial limb, but with the genuine one." And based on the history that we have of Mary Baker Eddy and just the magnitude of the healings that she has performed, that what she's talking about here, I think, is really superior to anything that we could do artificially, to actually be able to regenerate a limb or, you know, just healing in general. and to do it by tapping into this more reliable source of sustenance, this, what I would say, better use of mind.
Well, we had said earlier, before we started the program, right after the summary, we said to think in tandem with the Almighty. So what does that look like when we're doing that?
Yeah, that requires a whole conversion that has to take place, because we have to really transcend the testimony of our senses. We have to rise above what's called mortal mind or material mind. And then we have to start to think with God as God. And in doing that, when you're tapping into divine mind, you have to realize that divine mind does not understand anything that is dualistic. And in fact, the language that they use in Christian Science is anything that is coming under the testimony of the senses is an error or sin, because you're drawing off of the wrong energy field, period. And so trying to develop yourself to understand spiritual ideas, to understand the language of spirit, is where I think we begin. But in order to do that, in Kriya Yoga, we call it pratyahara. You have to learn how to withdraw from sensual perception, sensual awareness. And in order to do that successfully, it's really helpful if you understand the language of spirit. And the important thing to understand about spirit is that spirit is truth. And it doesn't understand anything that isn't truth, isn't whole, isn't in harmony. It puts out just peace, love, happiness, and goodness. And it's a very different goodness than what we know through our human thinking. This goodness is not a mix of good and evil. It is pure, 100% goodness. And it can't be anything else. And when you start understanding how this language works, and you start to access it, and you start to unleash the power of it, then you can start to demonstrate some of the things that Mary Baker Eddy is talking about here. But there is quite a bit of a learning curve that's involved in it.
Yeah, I would think so, because as you were describing that, I was thinking to myself that I think we all have, whether we realize it or not, we all have an agenda, and it might be unconscious or whatever. We don't realize it, but for us to be truly good and to be truthful, I don't think that we are 100% at that same level of awareness that Mary Baker Eddy was, for example. Like I said, I do think that we have our own agendas that may prevent us from heading down that particular path.
Yeah, and the senses of mind or spirit are definitely different than the senses of mind, human. Because spirit is eternal. Matter is temporal. Spirit is permanent and unchanging. Mind is impermanent and changing. Spirit is whole and complete, and mind is dualistic and in half. And in order to make the conversion of being able to understand yourself spiritually, there's a huge learning curve that's involved in it. And it really requires us to what they called put off the old man in the Bible. And that's the separation theme that you get in Kriya Yoga, that you have to separate your identity from the confinement of sensual perception in order to be able to usher in this whole new way of perceiving reality. But now what you're dealing with is you're dealing with truth, right? And you're getting away from artificial. The testimony of our senses puts us in an artificial or a false sense of existence. And it's when we start to align ourselves with truth is when we really are enabling ourselves to now identify with a true sense of existence. And it has a completely different return. And I think the limitations that we accept when we just use human thinking are exceeded exponentially when you give that up for this impersonal sense of spiritual selfhood.
Yeah, so I think what you're saying is that there is no way that we can get to these places through artificial means. It has to be done purely by human means.
Well, actually, you want to do it divinely, that the human isn't enough. And that's what I'm saying, that if we're going to subhuman methods instead of going to superhuman methods. And the concept, you know, here, what I like to talk about is what is real is a huge variable in the game of life. Technology is preoccupied with the impermanent and the changing, but the real truth is in the permanent and the unchanging. And if you really think about it, you know, that spirit is readily available and it doesn't need any adjustments or improvements. It doesn't need to be manufactured. It doesn't need anything but to be discovered and demonstrated. It's right there. It's readily available to each and every one of us right now. And it is as perfect as it was when creation began. And if you need a testimony, all you have to do is look at just about anything that comes under the heading of creation. Look at an insect. Look at a tree. Look at a flower. These are things that human ingenuity couldn't even come close to duplicating any of these things. A bird. You know, look at your hand. Try and duplicate what, you know, these five fingers can do. It's absolutely amazing. And so to try and do things artificially rather than to tap into the Creator, the Almighty, that's the direction that I really think humanity should be going in. And that's what these earlier disciplines, these spiritual sciences, are all about. It's about unlocking this wisdom, this intelligence, and it's readily available to us right now.
And then, like you say, we just have to learn how to access that, and we have to be of a certain mindset to be able to get there. There is a process and a procedure.
Right. And that's what things like this Kriya Yoga that we teach is all about. It's really about exploring and unlocking and developing and this concept of apotheosis, becoming divine, the human unlocking their potential.
Well, I think this is probably a good place to start closing down our program. So listeners, I invite you to visit our website. It's www.ipdtransform.com. When you're on the website, we have all kinds of learning tools there for your learning experiences. But do keep those comments and questions coming because we do enjoy hearing from you. Be sure to tune in next week. We're going to be talking about the spring equinox and also celebrating International Day of Happiness. And don't forget, listen to our Facebook Live episodes that we air every Wednesday at 5:00. So, Swami, do you have any other final thoughts or comments about today's show?
Well, I would like to encourage people to really delve into a little bit of what we're talking about here today, about this higher mind, as opposed to maybe getting so lost in your smartphone. And I'm looking forward to next week as well. I could use a little happiness. And with that, I wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.